Hackers tried to breach federal networks more than 48,000 times last year. And those are just the incidents agencies knew about and reported to the Homeland Security Department. Auditors say agencies are not prepared for this onslaught. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us to discuss this warning from the Government Accountability Office. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So why did GAO find agencies not well prepared to deal with cyber attacks?
You'd think by now, after all we've talked about it, all that gets focused on cybersecurity, they'd be better prepared. But in fact, the incidents reported to the Homeland Security Department's U.S. CERT is increasing, more than 48,000 last year. That's up from 42,000 in 2011, 41,000 in 2010, and almost 30,000 in 2009. And it's not just a matter of total incidents being reported, it's also the types of attacks agencies are facing. GAO says improper usage, malicious code, unauthorized access were the most widely reported types of incidents across the government. Greg Wilshusen is GAO's Director of Information Security Issues. Listen to this exchange between Wilshusen and Senator Tom Coburn, ranking member of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee.
Why have we been designating federal information security as a high-risk area since 1997 is because of agencies, I won't say inability, but their lack of meaningful success in securing their systems and meeting many of the requirements for securing their systems.
So let me explain what that means, sure, so everybody understands. Only 8 federal agencies at this time out of 22 meet the guidelines for securing their network.
And that's actually for one of the statistics for assessing their risk. That's one of the challenge areas for agencies. It's not an easy job in terms of implementing effective security over time because the environment is constantly changing. New technologies are being implemented into the computing environment. The threats are becoming more sophisticated, and business practices are changing.
And remember, these aren't complicated things. These aren't things that agencies have to buy a brand new software. A lot of it is what they call typical cyber hygiene. For instance, GAO found 19 of 24 major federal agencies reported that information security control deficiencies were either material weaknesses or a significant deficiency in internal controls over financial reporting. Further, inspectors general say that 22 of 24 agencies cited information security as a major management challenge. And then most of the 24 agencies had information security weaknesses in most of the 5 key control areas. We have a whole list of that on federalnewsradio.com, but basically those 5 key control areas include things like information security management programs critical to control deficiencies, resolve problems, limiting, preventing, detecting inappropriate access to computer resources, and then things like managing the configuration of hardware and software, things that can be done that don't cost a lot of money, but agencies just aren't doing them consistently enough.
But it does sound like agencies are aware that they have these problems, and this comes at a time when Congress has been trying to get a new federal cybersecurity law passed. Will these GAO findings help get that process moving along?
Well, they've definitely been trying to move this bill along for the last few years. So these findings obviously won't hurt. They will obviously continue to press the issue. Senator Coburn was actually frustrated yesterday at the hearing. It was a joint hearing between the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee over the cybersecurity executive order. And during the hearing, Senator Coburn said, you know, why didn't OMB release the annual FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Report, yet as part of this hearing? I mean, this would have been really interesting to have for this discussion. Now, to be fair, the report to Congress, which comes annually, usually comes out in March, but there is no specific date when that report is supposed to be out by. They just get it done by March. Now, I've heard from an OMB spokesperson who says the administration appreciates the importance of the FISMA report and is working to provide it to Congress as expeditiously as possible. But Coburn also expressed concern over whether the Homeland Security Department has the authorities needed to oversee federal networks and whether the new cybersecurity executive order would overwhelm them. Janet Napolitano is the Secretary of DHS.
I think we can accomplish much with our existing authorities. As I've suggested, Senator, I think some FISMA reform, which would move us out of the paperwork generation into the digital age, very helpful, was considered part of the original legislation. The ability to do hiring equivalency to the sorts of hiring that the NSA could do, because realize in this realm, civilian capacity needs to be enhanced because We are going to manage most of this through civilian capacities with some utilization of the NSA, when we already have those arrangements made. But on that personnel side, we will need legislative assistance.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano there. She also adds that DHS has worked hard over the last few years to improve the management of cyber and to address many of the challenges they had previously have had and been kind of called to the carpet on by Congress. Now, Senator Tom Carper is the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He believes legislation is still a priority once again this session, and he says there's a pretty good chance it's going to happen.
But I think we've moved a long ways. Y'all have moved a long ways, and I think in smart ways. Wingman here, Dr. Coburn, has suggested there's still some concerns about liability protection. My understanding is on the information sharing sides, it's not so much an issue anymore. I think there may be a bipartisan agreement with respect to punitive damages and maybe general damages. I think there's some questions about liability protection on the critical infrastructure side. Should it be punitive? Should it be more than punitive? But there's been a whole lot of movement, as I see it, from the administration, I think from a bipartisan group of us in the Senate to meet the legitimate concerns we raised.
So let's see what happens now. I think there's a lot of wait-and-see approach from Senator Coburn and the Republicans, as well as industry, that see if those earlier concerns really were addressed. Now, I think what they're doing is they're going to say, okay, let's see how the cybersecurity executive order gets implemented by the National Institute of Standards and Technology and DHS. And if that process kind of lives up to the billing, then they probably will move forward with the legislation itself. If they feel like DHS is trying to implement more regulations on industry, and that was one of the big sticking points last session, they may step back and say, you know, maybe we don't need legislation because you guys can't live up to what you said you do with the executive order. So we're still in a wait-and-see game.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, you were talking about the Senate hearing. That's where all of this took place. It really focused on that executive order. Do you think lawmakers are supportive of the order itself?
I think there's definitely a growing acceptance from members. And obviously, everyone agrees. I think legislation is still needed. The executive order is not the answer to many of the tough issues that remain that you heard Senator Carper talk about just a few minutes ago. But many of the questions at yesterday's hearing revolved around how the process would work to implement the executive order. Patrick Gallagher is the director of NIST. He says the reaction to the cyber order that he's been hearing has been very positive, and especially around how the EO sets up the development of the framework.
The tricky issue here is that there's a public accountability for performance in the form of critical infrastructure. If it fails, it causes impact to the nation. But these type of standards and requirements also have business impact. They touch how businesses perform, they touch their business practices, and they affect the markets. And I think generally there's a reticence to having the government somehow have an undue impact on their business conditions. So this arrangement allows really kind of the ideal choreography, because the Department of Homeland Security lays out the performance expectation. What do we have to achieve from a cybersecurity performance view? And then charges industry with coming up with the business and cybersecurity practices that meet that goal. And then we try to align our practices.
So during the hearing, several different issues came up around the executive order. I'm just going to highlight a few of them. Several lawmakers wondered if having what they call a good housekeeping seal of approval for these standards was enough, meaning if a vendor says, or a critical infrastructure provider says, yes, we've met it, and here's the certification, is that going to be enough? You know, is more needed? Is it tough enough standards? Others asked how DHS and NIST were to ensure they had enough industry participation. And interesting, Patrick Gallagher from NIST says, we've never really had that problem in the past. We've always had plenty of industry participation, especially around things like cloud computing and smart grid, which is kind of the same process which NIST is using again for this critical infrastructure cybersecurity standards. And finally, committee members wanted to know how to deal with those companies that do not or choose not to adhere to the voluntary standards. Secretary Napolitano says that issue, called free riders, is a risk.
I think it's a measured risk compared to a process that is an open process that involves industry from the get-go, and that really aligns well with what we've done on the physical security side and with what NIST has done in terms of other types of standard setting. One of the questions to ask is, why wouldn't a company participate? One reason is that they themselves do not have the technical know-how. They don't have one of the things we will be building and encouraging through this is the exchange of best practices. That exchange among those actually in the market actually can help smaller entities or those who have not invested what they should have already.
Now, Napolitano also says there are other incentives such as procurement preferences to help lower the risk of that free rider that would even bring it down further. Now, Congress will continue to pay close attention to the implementation of the executive order. There's actually another hearing already scheduled for next week in the House. The Homeland Security Committee will listen from Secretary Napolitano and others about the implementation of this executive order.
Okay, and I'm sure that we will stay tuned and talk with you more about that.
I think we will. Well, there'll be plenty to report on. Keeps us busy.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller, and he has a lot more details on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.